You're listening to a 3CR podcast recorded in the 3CR Community Radio Studio in Melbourne, Australia. If you like what you hear, please consider donating or subscribing so we can keep bringing you more independent community content. For more information, go to 3cr.org.au.
Panoply, panorama, panpipe, pansy, aha, pansexual, knowing no boundaries of sex or gender. Sound interesting? Then join Sally on Sundays at noon for Out of the Pan. All those gender questions making you think too hard? Whether it's transgender, bisexual, polyamorous or beyond, we'll throw those questions into the pan and cook up the answers for you. So go on, push that gender envelope, only on 3CR 855am digital and 3cr.org.au. 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3CR.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally, first broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company. 3CR broadcasts from the lands of the Kulin Nations at the overlap of the contested lands of the Wurundjeri and Bunurong peoples. And we pay respects to elders past, present and emerging. Hello to any Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander, First Nations people tuning in on the show today, for the show today. I'm Sally Goldner. I am your host for the hour of Out of the Pan, a show covering pansexual issues. I use the pronouns she and her. And appropriately enough, why have I never done that in, 20 years of this program? We opened up with Anne Kirkpatrick and Out of the Blue, because you were just listening to Out of the Blue, diving deep for marine news, as they do every Sunday morning from 11:30 till noon. And that track came from a compilation called A Landline Collection, The Harvest. And they were talking about octopuses, and there were puns because octopuses give out ink, and we were told it was incredible. Oh, I love it. We're off to a good start today. There's a pun alert at 6 minutes 37 seconds. Place your non-gambling ethical bets for whether you will have a wrestling reference. There will be, because I should get time today to talk about a session of queer films that I went to yesterday, and all that sort of thing. So I'm looking forward very much to chatting about that. But there's lots of ways to get in touch with the show today, as there always is. You can SMS 61456 751215. Twitter, Mastodon, Blue Sky, and Instagram at Sal Gold Said So, and that's the bottom line. And posts on Facebook, my page, Sally Goldner, and Out of the Pan, 3CR, 855 AM, Melbourne. Postal address, PO Box 1277, Collingwood 3066. Very much today, any opinions I express on the show are strictly my own. We'll get to that in a second. Will be a general content note warning, so for QLife, including Switchboard in Victoria and Tasmania, 1800 184527, Rainbow Door 1800 729 367, because there will be discussion of hate crimes, hate speech, transphobia. Because we have just finished Trans Awareness Week, and including Trans Day of Remembrance on the 20th of November, this week Thursday, and yours truly gave a talk, and I thought, why not share it with you? I hit the record button on my little MP3 player and thought, why not play this talk? So we're going to do it. It covers a range of issues that, in my opinion, affect the trans community past and present. The context was there was a screening of the 1980s, we'll call it Doco, Paris is Burning, and which looked at the black, queer and Latino ball scene of the 1980s in New York City. And this was of great significance, of course, on Trans Day of Remembrance. Unfortunately, one of the characters is unfortunately, I have to say it, murdered before the film could be released, and that gets in at the end and gets talked about. But it is, something that unfortunately we have to consider in trans and queer communities, particularly trans at the moment, and acknowledging my privilege as someone who is white. This was a film focused on black/people of colour and Latino trans and queer people, which obviously I can't talk to that lived expertise. But it certainly created a lot of issues and linked in a lot of thoughts for me. And so I'm just going to, I shared my thoughts about the film, how it relates to today, and, some issues that came up for me today, which is what I was asked to speak about. So I'll give you, this talk goes for about 20 minutes, and, we'll go from there. Let's get into it. Let's get at least the first half of that underway. On 3CR, you're hearing yours truly talk at the
event run by the jointly by the City of Greater Dandenong and Monash City Council for Trans Day of Awareness, held down in Clayton on Yakut Willem lands last week, like a few days ago, and let's get it underway.
Thanks, Jacob. I too would very much acknowledge that we're on the traditional lands of the Yalukit Willem clan as part of the Bunurong people and the Wurundjeri Balak clan as part of the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung peoples, who are all part of the Kulin Nation. Hello to any Aboriginal, Torres Strait Islander First Nations people in the room, and I acknowledge that this always was and always will be Aboriginal land. I'm just going to add a few notes first. The comments that I'm going to make are my own personal opinions, don't represent any of the organisations I've mentioned. If you want to put anything on social media, the main place to look for me is in line with the introduction about about professional wrestling at Sal Gold Zed Zone, and that's the bottom line. You've got to know your wrestling. I got it out of the way within 2 minutes. There's the wrestling reference. And also I also wanted to acknowledge that there will be, because of the day we're on, which I want to talk about, there will be mentions of violence and transphobia in line with the film. I thought about how I wanted to sum up the many things that I wanted to talk about and link to in relation to the film and what's happening now. And I think the most accurate way, not 100%, is to quote, I'll start by doing about the 10 words of French I know. Plus ça monte, plus ça change. The more things change, the more they stay the same, was what came to mind. A film that was made in the 1980s, and yet so many of the gist of the issues are pretty relevant today. But in line with today, today is Trans Day of Remembrance, and I think we can only do this on this day if some people have heard it before. I ask you to hear it again. How did Trans Day of Remembrance start and why? It was first observed in 1999 after three people, in particular Gwendolyn Smith, after the murder of Rita Hester, a trans woman of colour, realised that almost in the same place in Massachusetts 3 years earlier, another trans woman of colour, Chanel Pickett, was also murdered, and people had almost already forgotten. And that, I think, perhaps says something in itself that's of relevance to some of the themes of the film. Trans Day of Remembrance acknowledges, sad as it may be, the continued violence in all forms against what we now call transgender, diverse and non-binary people. It's not just murder or assault, but emotional, psychological and verbal that creates violence in itself. We also may take the opportunity to remember those trans people who have left us, but through non-violent means it can be a time as well to hold them in our hearts. I don't think we can ignore, we have to acknowledge what is happening in the world today in relation to trans people. And it's important in the ongoing climate. Australia is not immune, although the laws and attitudes that I believe we built up prior to, say, around 2016 give us some buffer, to use an analogy. We've put up a number of walls of sandbags, but we need to keep piling them up. But we need every bit of that. I think we need to talk about that in terms of the outright violence in Australia vis-a-vis other places, a lot of other places in the world. I would use the phrase maybe with, but things have been less worse. But we do need to be aware of things. A recent story of a trans woman assaulted on a tram on the Gold Coast, And a story which, while not made public, was of a trans woman who was lured by two people in the same way that gay men were many years ago, also in Queensland, with nearly disastrous consequences. I want to send my thoughts to 491 and probably more young people, trans people in Queensland, who cannot get access to the needed medication, the puberty blockers, that they need to make their lives happy and what they are going through. I also acknowledge that the violence that is existing in our custodial system with attitudes in the Northern Territory. And I find it somewhat bizarre that in a world that has so many issues, and I refuse to name this person outright, but a certain Murdoch media columnist for the last 4 to 5 weeks has used part of her column to have a shot at this trans in custody issue. And while these may sound heavy, I want to point to the positive. There was a huge, great article yesterday in the newsletter Women's Agenda by Debbie Kilroy and Tabitha Lean of Sisters Inside, attacking that, or we'll say asserting themselves against that columnist, saying, where were you when all sorts of other women were facing difficulty in the custodial system, and suddenly you start using the custodial system to bring up the trans women issue? That is the sort of allyship and accompliceship, and I'll define those terms, that we need to go forward. That those two cisgender women used their privilege and their power that they have to support trans people, including trans women. There were so many parts of the film that, even though watching it again, still so many things came to mind. There was battles of, do we assimilate? Do we want to blend into, in inverted commas, straight society, or do we want to stand out? It's an ongoing issue. And, of course, everyone will have their own individual needs on that, and we need to respect that. And I feel that maybe some of our strategy in LGBTIQI plus communities, as we now have done in the past, has not accounted for everyone. I want to talk a little more about that. I also noted the sense of fantasy and escape, and was reminded, after I began to be myself in the 90s, although it had been raining for some time, I'm not sure if anyone here remembers or has heard of the fantasy ball that ran for a few years. No one has seemed to recall that. Where you could glam up as virtually anything and not just sort of look like a model or the military or whatever was portrayed in Paris is Burning, but anything. And I think there's or say benignly incriminating pictures of me as a mermaid somewhere. But it is that sense of fun and glamour that I feel, yes, maybe money of course is an issue as we know, but have we lost that in our communities? How do we get it back? Even though it wasn't formal or glamorous just under 2 weeks ago, I was at the Gender Revel, the gala event, or probably politically incorrect of me to mention Daryl and Ozzy, who always used to say a gala event, but no, not true, it was a gala event. And it was nice to just be yourself, and that doesn't have to be formal wear. It can just be what makes you feel good. And so the more things change, the more they stay the same. The thing that I would ask us to consider is, to some extent in Victoria, we need to be aware and be conscious of the fact that we are in a better place. Lots of people have done good work on that. The government has contributed to that. And so we do need to just be a little conscious of the possibility of a bubble. And I think it's important that we look at the world outside. And that's not just, let's say, the rest of Australia, but obviously what is happening elsewhere. The examples most talked about in Australia are the US and the UK. But in line with the theme of the more things change, the more they stay the same. Only in this morning, as I ran over what I wanted to say, I got an email or a newsletter, and it talked about a sort of an online game based on Have I Got News For You, which is a UK television show called Have I Got Phobia For You. And what it does is it takes newspaper headlines from either the last century used against gays and lesbians, or this century against trans, takes out words like gay, lesbian, trans, or homosexual, and says which century is it from. And I must admit that I only got 6 out of 10. But I think that also says something. And I think, though, that in turn gives us a way where we can assert ourselves back, and where we need cisgender people to be allies against transphobia by saying roughly the same nonsense was used against gays and lesbians 20 to 30 years ago. There's one very important thing I need to acknowledge as well. I'm speaking from a place of white privilege, and the film was overwhelmingly made with a focus on people of colour / black, Latino and similar. And I cannot speak for that perspective. I can empathise, I can draw parallels, but I cannot, obviously speak for people with whom I don't identify as part of myself. Things that came through, the fact that there were hopes and dreams, some were big. You know, some people wanted to go to Paris, some people wanted a big house in the country and someone to be with. And some were small. Some people just said they'd be happy to sort of have enough to live on and, you know, sort of be where they were. I think the issue that may be different is that there is, to my mind, at least in Melbourne and parts of Victoria, a greater range of gender expression, the sense of assimilationism or passing in terms of gender expression that came through in the film is probably different to where we are today. There was very little, to use today's language, non-binary didn't really come into the film, which I think is a good sign that we are, you know, sort of seeing more of the gender kaleidoscope. One thing that came up was people who wanted and or needed surgery. And it must be pointed out that at a national level, Australia still does not have Medicare coverage of trans-specific medical costs, particularly surgery. For those assigned male wanting lower surgery, we're still looking at lower surgery alone with an out-of-pocket cost of $20,000. And this has been an issue, well, for the 30 years I've been involved, and I think that's a concern that we have not moved. And the Age reported on the 4th of August that the National Medical Services Advisory Committee agreed there was an unmet clinical need for gender-affirming surgeries, but the committee found the evidence supporting the Australian Society of Plastic Surgeons-led application was not yet strong enough to approve funding. I found that to be bizarre. And I call for cisgender allyship from health professionals, from all sorts of cisgender people, to get that moving. And so it's been, you know, it's the story of the cans being kicked down the road again. And I find that extremely disappointing. We know how much surgery benefits those who need it, and of course for those assigned female who want lower surgery, the cost of lower surgery is around $100,000 out of pocket. I also find it strange that the current proposal, even if it went through tomorrow, would only fund 75% of the cost. I don't know where that figure has come from. I also find it interesting that we haven't asked for trans people's opinion on this, and we have only, you know, that the only people quoted was the Australian Society of Plastic Surgeons. Surely trans people have a right to have a say in our own lives. And that leads to some important questions. Where is our advocacy at a national level by trans people for trans people? The harsh reality, and this is where it's going to be assertive, is that many trans people feel most of the federal ALP government needs some guts affirmation surgery when it comes to trans issues. And we need cis allies to stand up for us and get us at the table, because we are feeling, I think, very abandoned by federal Labor. It's not good enough to just say, oh, well, they're not as nasty as the federal Liberal National Party. No, let's get some positives going. I want to put a personal note in, which I think linked very much to the film, and you know, when it was shot in the 80s, people, let's say a lot of those people would have been, say, in their 20s and 30s, so now would be in their 60s or so. And as someone who is 60 years and 1 month, and doesn't feel old, but is concerned about ageing, I think there is a linkage very much to queers, especially trans, who have lived on. And I want to talk, to put something on the table about issues facing queer, especially trans seniors, and what I'll also call the middle cohort, particularly the latter part, but the roughly 25 to 60-year-old cohort for trans, and to some extent for bi people, I think, is overlooked. Because trans and bi people, it's fair to say, and the evidence backs it, have not made as much progress as gay and lesbian. I'd also like to acknowledge that recently we had two important days for people with variation of sex characteristics, Intersex Day of Awareness and Intersex Day of Remembrance on 25 October and 8 November, and intersex people have not progressed as far either. Now, I've learned to back my gut over 30 years, so I'm backing my gut here. Do I have research on what I'm about to say? No. Do I back my gut 100%? There's a combination of issues facing our queer, especially trans seniors, that is somewhere already to stream, possibly a flood, and as much as I don't like the word crisis, I will say it's a possibility. Issues that come up are many older queers, including trans, are concerned about housing insecurity and instability and lack of housing options. And yes, many people are. We're all aware, I think, of the rental crisis and the overpricing of rents in Melbourne. But for those who are more marginalised, this is a big issue. Many people do not have savings. There's also something that I think needs to be made aware of, and as someone who only found out in July, so 4 months ago, after doing, I'll say, authoritative questionnaires, having lived 59 years and 9 months, that I'm very high on the autism and ADHD kaleidoscopes. And I could say, gee, you're trans and autistic, who'd have thunk it? But I think from all I'm seeing and hearing, we are having this flood of queer people, including trans, who are recognising, and whether I was, for what it's worth, officially diagnosed last month, who I will say, adding spice later on, adding their neurospiciness later on. And I plead, beg, urge health services and community services and advocates to start recognising this. How many older queers who have battled through things like sexual and romantic orientation, gender identity and expression, and not that I can speak directly, but according to intersex advocates, the percentage of intersex people on the kaleidoscopes are very, very high as well, and are now having to come to terms with this. I call this myself the topsoil effect. Okay, we've dug through the topsoil of LGBTIQA+, but now we're coming down to the next layer of, in, what is it, igneous rock or something. There's some year 7 geology for you from many years ago. And we're finding a big issue in all seriousness. There's also another issue that I think I'm really glad that we saw this film tonight, because I think we have an intergenerational learning gap. Only today, when talking to a support worker who is queer and in, I'll use their mid-20s, they were talking to someone 10 years younger than them, and the mid-20s person was saying how they were bullied at school for being queer, and a 15-year-old could not believe that. If that is the gap between a 15-year-old and, say, a 25-year-old, how are younger workers going to understand what older queer and trans people have endured? I don't say that for the sake of pity or sympathy. It needs to be understood. And I totally want our younger trans and queer people to have a fulfilled life. That's what, I can now say senior troops in pans like me fought for. We want to see it get better. But I also feel that we are being left behind and there is some degree of lateral hostility towards queer elders, seniors and the middle cohort. So what can we do? Well, intergenerational panels is one way that we can overcome that one. But we not only need people to be allies, we need those who are allies to keep building more allies. And then there's a further level of support, which is called accompliship, which is breaking down the systemic oppression that a certain group, in this case trans, face. So yes, we need training and forms that include pronouns and acknowledging, you know, contact person and those sorts of basics. And we need to acknowledge today's like today and also Trans Day of Visibility in on March 31st and the intersex days, and celebrate by that 23rd of September, and also acknowledging next year's theme for the International Day for IHOBIT on May 17th, which was just announced this morning, will be at the heart of democracy. They're good things to do, but we need allies to build more allies, and we need accomplices to break down the systemic oppression and go into bat for us. So write to your federal ALP politicians. Use media where you can, like the Sisters Inside people did yesterday, and help us fulfil our potential so we can have less and less names added to those we lose each year that are announced on Trans Day Visibility. And to follow from the theme that came right at the end of Paris is Burning, where there's a talk about community, I urge us to start rebuilding it. Thanks. Questions or you never get out of a talk that I do that I'm happy to take any queries. And as always I will say that so long as a question comes from a place of wanting to learn, it's a good question, so don't worry about how you ask or whether you've got the words right, that sort of thing. Let's use this chance to learn and exchange information. That's cool. Have a good night. No one wants to go first. Up on my that side in the white.
Hi there, my name's Alex, she, her pronouns. I work with older adults, and this is something that I wanted to come speak to you about as an older trans woman. In terms of the intergenerational knowledge gap, as you called it, and lateral violence, what do you think is the best approach when trying to explain, say, trans history or genderqueer history or even LGBT history to an older adult who might be a little closed-minded about things? What's your best advice?
To an older adult, so explaining to an older adult who is non-LGBT or
trans. That's right, yes.
Yeah. I think it's about building characteristics of empathy and humanity first, and then drilling into the specifics of LGBTIQA+, and there are exercises that can do that in training. One is, you know, sort of, it's an exercise, I'm just trying to keep it simple given time, where we ask to think people about a time when they felt different. Now I'm going to put different in terms of inverted commas. And then I say, well, how did you feel? Don't go through the experience. And people will come up with words like anxious, stressed, judged, da 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 da. And they are, for lack of a better grammatical way to put it, negative feelings. And so I think anyone who is different, whether it's ability / disability, neurodivergence, faith, skin colour, can then start getting that. And then you can then explain what LGBTQI+ people have gone through, that we grew up in times where there wasn't any support at all, that there was nothing protecting any LGBTQI+ at Victorian law prior to 1995, for example. So that's only 30 years ago. And there's plenty of other timelines that you can consider as well. Of course, there was criminalisation of sex between consenting assigned males up until early 1980, 81, and all those sorts of things, which isn't that long ago. You know, people who are 80 now live half a lifetime. So I think that would be my answer to you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Right at the back.
That's where we left it because we were out of time. So I hope you enjoyed that, found that thoughtful. A little talk given by yours truly on Trans Day of Remembrance on Thursday night at the joint event held by City of Monash and City of Greater Dandenong down in Clayton on Kulin Lands. Have some music now from Rich Webb, and let's have a listen to Rich's track from the album Le Rayon Vert and Letter to My Replacement, whoever that may be, which sort of seems to fit in. 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally.
So hello and goodbye now, I wish you well, I really do. You're gonna live like a king for sure. It's old for me, it's new for you. And all the friends you got now. Take your time, but be careful with your back. And those that dislike you will prove in some ways as worthy and on track. There'll be times of great happiness. Sometimes there's only you in the room. There'll be times when you think you rule the world. Now's not a moment too soon. They'll chase your life, bleed your identity, trample over you when you're down, and gloat as if they've won a war when there's no wars to be found. 'Cause in the sharp edges of their smile lies a tool and use with their own accord. Deliver on the useless ambition, run you through with a blunt and rusting sword. So fight them when they attack. You got nothing but your own. Dignity is self-preservation. Give them the finger for me now that I'm gone. So let's drink to them right now, you say. Long may they stew in a vat of cat's piss and shit's bone. And lights right in residue. To your new wife, I'm sure you love. As much as I loved her, she'll never let you down. I fail to move you with a whisper. She'll astonish you with her beauty, her knowledge and her regard, and her ways of influencing other men like a window blind to a card. And even though it's now broken, I still miss her every day. I still miss her self-importance and how she always got away. So let's drink to her right now. Long may she stew in a vat of cat's piss and shit's bone. Life's rotten residue. Born into this, yet it It seems it was no mistake. Some of us came from the same birth pool, or at least that's what they say. Parted hard right until the end. We together lived the game. And in the times when it all came clattering down, I still love them all the same. So look after your new family, please. They're the biggest thing I miss. Greet them with an open heart. Take your chances, don't take the piss. And come your celebration times, remember me as I each of you. In a Nevada cat's piss and chips bowl, life's rotting residue. So hello and goodbye now. I wish you well, I really do. You're gonna live like a king for sure. What's old for me is new for you. So you see, I'm pleased to leave now. When all the thundering is done, sure, life is what you make of it. And I'm not impressed with what I've done. But to hell with looking back down on this. To hell with your new life. To hell with your new family. And to hell with your new wife. Greet you all right here and now. Along may each of you stew. In a vine of cats, piss and shit's bone. Life's right in residue.
Plus Pride Victoria is a not-for-profit organisation dedicated to equality and justice for multigender attracted people, including bi, pan, regardless of label, or no label at all. We organise community events and advocate for better policies and services. Pi Plus Pride runs discussion groups which offer a safe and fun space to share your experiences, ask any questions regarding your sexual identity, and provide peer support. Pi Plus Pride is especially keen to hear from multigender attracted people in regional and rural Victoria. Donations to Pi Plus Pride are tax deductible. For more information, visit our website at biplusprideVic.org.au, email info@biplusprideVic.org.au, or find us on Facebook or Instagram.
A 3CR supporter.
I'm bisexual.
Out of the Pan thanks Go Kindly for their sponsorship of this program. Go Kindly creates high-quality, locally-made bedding, donating 50% of profits to support women and gender-diverse people experiencing housing stress. Check out gokindly.com.au and take their pillow quiz.
3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3CR.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally. First broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company. We heard a few things. We heard Rich Webb from Letter to My Replacement, whoever that may be. We also heard two messages from Bi Plus Pride Victoria, and a reminder that the online discussion group is on this coming Tuesday night, 7:15 Australian Eastern Daylight Savings Time, and you can look for posts on Bi Plus Pride Victoria's Facebook and Instagram, and look for Bi Plus Pride in Eventbrite and register there, and you'll get a Zoom link. And yours truly will be facilitating. And you will see my face. Find out why this is a face for radio. And also, we heard from our fabulous sponsor, Go Kindly. Thanks so much for supporting Out of the Pan, Go Kindly. Hugely appreciated. Well, yours truly got out and about. And look, I almost feel I need to apologise because I totally forgot about Queer Film Festival this year. Just slipped through the radar with things what are happening in my world, and therefore wanted to I did get to one session yesterday. I got an invite to a session. And now I'm going to be the, what is it? The judge's decision is final and no correspondence will be entered into. Now, I did mention the speech that I just replayed, mentioned wrestling earlier. But why do you think I went to this session of Queer Film? Because I got a free ticket to go to see a film about, at 12:45 and around 33 seconds, lesbian mud wrestling. Gee, who'd have thunk it? Yes, that's what I do, and loving it. And it was a really, really good film, but look, as part of an amazing session of Australian short films, someone who curated trans films way back in the year 2000 for Queer Film Festival, and they were often long, sort of intense documentaries. And it's not the length, of course, it's the quality. There's probably a million lines in there to go through. But anyway, I just was blown away by the quality and variety and inclusivity slash intersectionality of all of these films. There was a film, Billy and Jesse, about a couple, a presumably cis woman and trans man who... Now, it's not exactly clear whether it's about ART or and fathering or something else, or just sex with a cis male. And they and it was just really well done and brought in great issues of, we'll say, sex, body and gender. Stranger Brother, which won an award after the session for one of the short films about two... I'll use my word here, Polynesian, I think, is the appropriate word. About two brothers from different fathers, I believe, but their mother's dying and the younger brother just turns up and there's all sorts of shenanigans and plot twists. With Love, Lottie, which looked at a young girl with, it says disabilities, but they're not defined and, of course, they don't have to be, which is really, really good. Wild Dog, which looked at a brother and sister in the country. The sister invites her boyfriend over and the boyfriend ends up having a kiss with the younger brother and all sorts of things happening. So sexuality and gender there, bisexuality. We then had the lesbian mud wrestling, which was quite amazing. And I didn't get to an event called Outlast, which was wrestling no mud down at a venue on Smith Street, which seems to be becoming a bit of a queer haunt called Wheat, Wine and Whiskey, because I did have a professional wrestling event to go to. But it seems there's some crossover between some of the people at Outlast and in the lesbian mud wrestling film, a trans woman who's attracted to women, so lesbian there, and got chatting to her afterwards. So that was amazing. Howl, which was about a woman who ends up attracted to a man and another woman who ends up being attracted to, you would say, a masculine woman or non-binary person, but looks at some very serious sexual consent issues. The Dysphoria, which was amazing, which weaved in Wiccan sort of type of stuff with gender surgery issues, and gender issues, and did so amazingly and also won an award. And then I'm the most racist person I know about two brown women, their words in the film, and how one seems to be more attracted to white. And there's a sort of internalized racism, which also won an award. And there were many other awards night. And this was only one session, and I've just rattled off eight short films. It was absolutely brilliant. So well done to all the amazing, amazing filmmakers in there. You know, what a thing to have that there is just so much amazing queer film. I'm just, you know, really in awe of all of the filmmakers. And that, as I say, is only one session. And the festival, unfortunately, finishes today. I really feel a bit guilty here, me bad, as they say, for not getting onto this earlier. Because if that's the standard of one session, I just wonder how many other great films there were that I missed and perhaps could have talked about on the show. Never mind. I'm hoping to remedy that, I will say. Keep your... I'll talk about that over the next couple of weeks. But, yeah, quite amazing stuff. So, lots of good stuff going on. Still a few sessions going on today at Queer Film, so make sure you, get your... little eyes and where possible, get down and see if you can enjoy the last few sessions of Queer Film, because it really as I say, was amazing, amazing stuff, and so great to see. Lots of things going on there. We'll just have a couple more messages, then come back, wrap up the show, tell you what's happening on Freedom of Species and the rest of the afternoon on 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally.
Slavery is back.
Welcome to a place where private business profit from a captive labour force, yet pennies are spent on medical services to a population in which the Indigenous, the poor and the mentally ill are overrepresented. Where isolation, humiliation and degradation are facts of life. Welcome to prison.
It depends who's telling the story, I suppose. The prisoners would have one view, the people who work in the prison system would have another, and I think it's up to people to decide where the truth is.
Give government propaganda and the media spin doctors the flick. And check out Doin' Time for news, views and tunes on prison issues from Guantanamo Bay to Christmas Island to prisons and detention centres everywhere. Every Monday at 4 p.m. on your community radio, 3CR.
We are still fired up and we're still talking about revolution.
Hello, this is Leroy McQueen, and you're listening to Out of the Pan on 3CR.
Indeed, 3CR, 855 AM, 3CR Digital, 3cr.org.au, 3CR On Demand, Out of the Pan with Sally, first broadcasting noon through one every Sunday afternoon. Thanks for your company, or at least every Sunday afternoon until with a new program until December 23rd. I'm then taking the usual summer season, and hopefully we'll get a chance to lie in the sun or swim in the waters that are mentioned on Out of the Blue, and go from there. But right now, let's be in the present moment or something. And talk about what is coming up on Freedom of Species, and that is coming up at 1 o'clock. And what have we got today on the fabulous show that covers animal advocacy, vegan and vegetarian issues? They're having a replay of the Animal Free Science Advocacy Edition, where they talk with Robin from Animal Free Science Advocacy about primate experiments in Australia and the ongoing Animal Free Science Advocacy campaign against those experiments. Great stuff as always from Freedom of Species. At 2 o'clock rotations, we'll have music of some sort, yet to find out. So the only way to find out is tune in at 2 o'clock. The Fab Crew from Queering the Air at 3, Salaam Radio Show from 4 through till 6. We'll keep you entertained throughout the afternoon and informed on 3CR. So lots of great radio. Well, here we are, as I say, at the end of Trans Awareness Week, although we're still in Trans Awareness Month, and you know, we should have should every day be Trans Awareness Day? Certainly there needs to be positivity every day. It's something we need, sometimes that gets discussed. But it is nice to be visible. I've got to say, at the nice thing happened at the professional wrestling event I was at on Friday, and it wasn't even to do with wrestling. It was in the Inner North at a venue in Preston, and got chatting to non-binary person I've never met, and a queer person I haven't seen in years. Sometimes the worlds collide. They happily overlap and interweave. There's a nice way to put it. And it was very, very enjoyable to have that night. It's good to be connected. And I think, of course, we all need, perhaps do we crave connection? We could work through that. I'm not sure. yeah, lots of good things going on, but as always, challenging things. And, you know, we do need very, very much to consider the, you know, the issues that I, you know, spoke about in that talk. I hope, again, that it was informative and thought-provoking. Anyway, I'd better move out of here and make way for Freedom of Species and the afternoon lineup that I mentioned. I'll take it out today with Kate Sobrano and Wendy Matthews with a track from the You've Always Got the Blues Songs from Stringer compilation from 1988. And this one is Dave Dobbin, DD Smash's track, their version thereof, called Guilty Through Neglect. Thanks for tuning in to Out of the Pan. I'm Sally Goldner. Catch you next week.
Scream and holler, say I just wanna scream.